Good morning, everyone. It truly is my privilege this morning to come and share the encouraging word that the Lord has laid on my heart. I've just had such joy in preparing this word, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will indeed inspire and encourage you as you listen, as you tune in this morning. It's just such a wonderful God that we serve, and our hearts overflow with praise and worship for him. The title of my message this morning is Great is the Lord and Greatly to be Praised. In our North Shore Fellowship, we have a very precious 94-year-old saint. Pauline encourages and inspires us every time we meet, every time we get together, and every time we have an opportunity to speak with her. The joy of the Lord bubbles up continuously, and praise and worship bubble from her lips as she engages with the youngest in our fellowship, right through to those who are not quite in her age bracket, but very close to it. Pauline very rarely misses church. She loves coming. It is her favourite thing to do on the Sunday. And she always does her best to come to our Monday afternoon powerhouse prayer meeting. And she thrives on opportunities to catch up with people for coffee and meeting them during the week in fellowship. Pauline has walked almost all of her 94 years with the Lord. Even her survival at birth was a miracle, a real testimony to the goodness of God. The title of my message, Great is the Lord and Greatly to be Praised, is a little phrase that Pauline says most times that we catch up together. And it's taken directly from Scripture, as you would expect. This comes from Psalm 145, verses 1 to 3. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name for ever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name for ever and ever. Verse 3, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. And those three verses sum up Pauline's approach to her relationship with the Lord. She believes them, she lives them, and she shares those things with others. They really literally bubble up from inside, and even sharing with complete strangers that God brings across her path brings Pauline such joy, and the responses she gets to the way she shares the Lord with others are just amazing and encouraging. And I know that Pauline wants to see all of us do the same thing. So today we're going to look at worshipping the Lord, praising him with thanksgiving, and the reasons why we do that and how we can go about doing that if we find that spontaneous worship isn't part of our lives. So I hope you follow in your Bibles or with the slides with the scriptures on, because there are going to be a few of them. And if you want a copy of our notes, we are only too happy to send those to you. We can send them as a PDF, or we can print them and post them out to you from our letterbox to yours. So we're going to look at some reasons today. The reasons to worship God are limitless. The truth of it all, the supreme reason God created us was to have a relationship with us in which we would worship him first and foremost. When we consider the reasons why we should praise God, we find a list of his attributes, and here are just a few. We're going to find more and more as this message goes on. Psalm 138 verse 5 tells us he is full of glory. We've just read Psalm 145:3 that God is great. He is powerful and wise. Daniel 2:20, he is good. Psalm 10:8, he is merciful and faithful. Psalm 81:9, and there's so much more that we will be looking at as we go. This list of attributes of God is complemented by a list of his wondrous works. He is the one who saves us. Psalm 18, verse 46. He keeps his promises. 1 Kings 8, 56. He pardons, removes, and forgets confessed sin. Psalm 103, 1-3. He provides our every need, and he gives us our daily bread. Psalm 136, 25. And as we've been hearing from David recently in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, give us this day our daily bread. He is our strong tower and our protector, Proverbs 18:10. He is our guide. He has sent the Holy Spirit, as we've been hearing from the messages from Peter about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit, John 14:26. To try and list all the things that God has done and who he is impossible. But it's a wonderful exercise to look into this because it turns our hearts back to him with gratitude and thanksgiving and worship. And it gives us specific things to worship and thank him for. And you will need to look out for these as you read the Word of God each day. So we were originally created to worship God. All humans are born with a deep inner longing to understand our eternal purpose and to know our infinite Creator. We yearn for something more, something greater than ourselves. Buzz Aldrin, who was the second man to walk on the moon in the Apollo 11 expedition in 1969, was so struck by the whole experience and revelation of creation, he said, "I could think of no better way to acknowledge the enormity of Apollo 11 experience than by giving thanks to God." Aldrin took communion on the moon, and on the voyage back to Earth, he publicly broadcast his reading of two verses from Psalm 8. Psalm 8 opens in verse 1 and closes in verse 9 with the statement, "O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." But Aldrin read verses 3 and 4 on his broadcast on the way back from the moon. 3 and 4, Psalm 8, "When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" The Creator of all the universe wants a relationship with you and me. He knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. He knows our thoughts before we think them, our words before we speak them. His thoughts towards us, which are always for our good, outnumber the grains of sand on every beach of the world. It's amazing, just amazing how much God knows about us and loves us and desperately wants that connection and relationship with us. It makes you want to burst into song, doesn't it? "I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. My God, how great thou art." The psalmist writes it well in Psalm 29, Psalm 29 verses 1 and 2. "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." King Solomon is credited with writing Ecclesiastes, and this is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 from the Amplified Bible. "God has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in man's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that man cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." I think that section in the middle, I'm going to read it again. "A divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy." God reveals himself to us through his creation. And don't our hearts overflow when we in delight when we consider his handiwork, a soaring snow-covered mountain peak, a thundering waterfall, the roaring of the waves on a wild west coast beach, the vibrant reds, golds, pinks, oranges, purples of a vivid, vivid sunset, the delicate variations of colour in a stunning, perfectly formed flower, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe, the stunning photos of the Milky Way and other heavenly creations leave us in awe. Romans 1 verses 19 to 20 in the Amplified Bible says, "For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness, because God himself has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, his handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defence or justification." God can be seen. God is revealed in creation. And sometimes people are so busy and so self-absorbed in what is going on in their lives that they don't stop to consider creation, to consider animals and bird life and aquatic life, all these amazing, amazing animals and things that the Lord has made for us. Years ago, people used to describe this, that inside every person was a God-shaped vacuum, which only God, the God of heaven and earth, can fill. So these passages of scriptures that we've just looked at, Ecclesiastes and Romans, explain clearly why we will never be satisfied with earthly endeavors, even our greatest achievements. We truly have still a built-in craving to worship. God has placed eternity in our hearts so that we would hunger and thirst after him. What an amazing God. But before we came to know the Lord through a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ, we fulfilled that gnawing hunger by worshipping unworthy objects and getting involved in unworthy pursuits. Our idols took the form of money or people, careers, hobbies, sports, passions, possessions, and anything else that replaced God in our hearts. Now, instead of seeking those things, we need to seek him, the pearl of great price. Matthew 6 verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we need to have some things round the right way, round God's way, which is always the opposite of the world's way. We need to seek him, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ in our own lives and hearts. Then we will find that he more than satisfies. So what is worship? To worship is to recognize, honor, and express the worthiness of God, that he is due as our Maker and as our Heavenly Father. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." We need to recognize, we need to honor and express the worthiness of God. We worship God by giving thanks to the Father who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Redeemer. Colossians 1:12-14 says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. What a life-saving God we worship. He is worthy to be praised. Worship needs to be part of our daily relationship with God. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Because his mercies and faithfulness to us are new every morning, so must our worship of him be new every morning. For believers, worship should be our way of life. Praise and worship and thanksgiving should bubble up and overflow all the time, especially in the tough times. The Apostle Paul defined worship as an all-encompassing lifestyle dedicated to glorifying God. So in thought, word, and deed, we need to consider, is this glorifying to God? When we worship our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit, we experience close fellowship and intimate communion with him. Worship is how we meet with God and praise him for his goodness, love, mercy, grace, wisdom, beauty, truth, holiness, compassion, might, and many other aspects of his wonderful character. Our praise of the Lord is to be ongoing. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." So it's a declaration and it's a sacrifice of praise. Through worship, we celebrate God's presence and power. We grow closer to him as he speaks to our hearts and makes his abode in our lives. His will becomes our will and we are transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise of the Lord, that as we behold the glory, as we worship the Lord, as we declare who he is and what his attributes are, that that changes us from one degree of glory into another. Hallelujah. Not only does worship change us, but it also makes God known to others and through us and what they are observing, and it can change their lives too. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord." Hallelujah. When we live a lifestyle of worship and praise and adoration of the King, when it bubbles up from inside of us, then people see. And that will change people. The Word of God says that that will be part of changing their lives. We want people to say, "I want what you've got." We long for them to ask, "How come you're so joyful and so calm and you're not anxious about anything, even considering the circumstances that you find yourself in at the moment?" This is the testimony of the goodness of God. So what does worship do in us? Psalm 22 verse 3 tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And God is pictured as a king reigning in the midst of his redeemed people as they praise him. When God's kingship is publicly acknowledged among his covenant people, gathered in trust and confession, then he is in their midst. Yes, God does deserve the overflow of our heart, of our free worship, but we in turn benefit from it. You can't outgive God. There's always something wonderful in things for us when we do things God's way. What could be better than to find and fulfill your ultimate purpose? To worship God and fulfill His plans for you on earth, and then spend all of eternity with Him. If you've ever given a special gift to a small child, then you know the absolute joy that you get when you see the spontaneous delight and the excitement as they unwrap the paper to discover the blessing inside. Our lovingly Heavenly Father delights to give us good gifts too. Our spirit rises within us as we're knitted together with Him and with each other through worship. James 1:17 and 18 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." We have a special place in God's heart. Yes, all of His creation is wonderful, but we are the part of His creation that has a personal living relationship with Him. Hallelujah. James wants to point out to us God's heart and attitude towards us. He not only gives good gifts, but He does so with a heart of love and generosity towards us. He gives us life because He really wants to. There is nothing grudging about the life and the good gifts that God gives to us. So how do we express our worship to God? The answers to all our questions are always in His book. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Hallelujah. Scripture tells us to shout, sing, declare, clap our hands, dance, play instruments, celebrate and rejoice. Hallelujah. There are moments of great exuberance in our worship of the Lord. Then there are other times where we can kneel, prostrate ourselves, meditate in our hearts, whisper our praise and petitions to God. He still hears. It's still worship when we come in honour and exaltation of Him. Using Scripture is an absolute godsend. If you can't find the words yourself, then look to the Word of God. David's Psalms are songs full of praise and worship of our mighty God. Read the Psalms out loud. They are declarations of worship of our wonderful Heavenly Father. And the words are there, and we might find they are a springboard for our own words as we keep reading them. Sometimes we have wonderful moments in our services here on the North Shore to sing out our praise to God. And sometimes people can be not sure what they want to sing out, but open your Bible, sing out a psalm, sing out the praises of the Lord. And even if you're like me and can't sing very well, I like the psalm that says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." The Lord is looking at our hearts, the overflow of our hearts, not how technically correct or beautiful our voices are. It's our heart towards Him that matters the most. Psalm 98 is a good declaration, and words will be up on the slide as I read them. And if you'd like to read along with me this morning, read these words with passion from your heart to the Lord. Psalm 98, starting at verse 1. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Hallelujah. What a wonderful set of words there that we can declare out to the Lord, inviting all of creation to join us. The wind whistling through the trees, the waves crashing on the ocean, the waterfalls thundering onto the rocks below. All of those things make a joyful noise and clap their hands to the Lord. And you'll find that reading those specific words from the Bible will be that springboard maybe into things that you don't find in your Bible. We know words like glorious and majestic and excellent and marvelous and holy and worthy are all in the Word of God. But there are some more modern words that you might spring into your mind about how wonderful God is. Feel free to use those too. So, how do we worship the Lord? We need to be obedient to the Word of God and to all he might speak to us. A surrendered life brings glory to God and it pleases him. So, it's all very well reading out these wonderful words, but we need to be obedient to them when obedience is required. And it's important too in worshipping the Lord that we do make a very good effort to worship God through the dark and tough times. That takes determination and character. And that shows a true understanding of who God is and that he is good all the time. He knows what he's doing in our lives and therefore we trust him in everything. We're looking again at Hebrews 13:15, but we're adding verse 16 now. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Samuel records King David as saying, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. That's why, at times, it is a sacrifice of effort, of time, a sacrifice of emotions to worship. But we need to make that choice to worship. It pleases God when we count the cost and come to him in praise and worship when it's the last thing we feel like doing, because it pleases God and our own spirit rises within us. Hallelujah. It's important that we worship God with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thanksgiving and praise always go together. We cannot adequately praise and worship God without also being thankful. Feeling and expressing appreciation is good for us. Everything we have is a gift from him. And without gratitude, we become arrogant, self-centered, and self-absorbed. We begin to believe that we have achieved everything on our own, or the world revolves around us. Thankfulness keeps our hearts in right relationship to the giver of all good gifts. Giving thanks and counting our blessings reminds us of how much we do have. Human beings are prone to covetousness. We tend to focus on what we don't have, and we think about what we do think we need or want. But by giving thanks continually, we are reminded of how much God has done and how much we do really have. When we focus on blessings rather than the wants, we are happier. When we start thanking God for the things we usually take for granted, our perspective changes. We realize that we could not even exist without the merciful blessings of God. We are to be thankful not only in the pleasant situations, but in the circumstances we don't like. When we purpose to thank God, regardless of what comes into our lives, we keep bitterness at bay. We cannot be both thankful and bitter at the same time. It is not that we're grateful for tragedy, but we can be thankful for God, who is with us even in the midst of tragedy. He sustains us, he gives us strength to endure, and we thank him for his promises in Romans 8:28 that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We can have thankful hearts towards God even when we do not feel thankful for the circumstance. We can grieve and still be thankful. We can be hurting but still be grateful and thankful. We can be angry at sin and still be thankful toward God. Giving thanks to God keeps our hearts in right relationship with him and saves us from a host of harmful emotions and attitudes that will rob us of the peace that God wants us to experience. We've looked at 7 simple points this morning. They are biblical and godly advice and sound instruction. Here they are in summary. Scripture tells us to shout, sing, declare, clap, dance, play instruments, celebrate and rejoice. Secondly, we can kneel, prostrate and surrender ourselves, meditate in our hearts, whisper our praise and petitions to God. We can use scripture. We can speak out the word of God. We can use specific Bible descriptions and then add to these. Hallelujah, God, you are glorious, majestic, excellent, marvelous, amazing, incredible, fantastic. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart to describe him, be obedient and speak those things out. We need to be obedient to the word of God and to all that he might speak to us. We need to worship God even in the dark and tough times. We need to worship God with thanksgiving. So we have no excuses now. We've heard about the how and the why and the when and the where to worship, because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is preeminent above the norm or distinguished. He exhibits superior character or quality, which sets him apart from all human beings and calls attention to his worthiness to be worshipped and adored. Great are his wondrous works. Great is his patience and forbearance towards us. Great is his might and power. Great is his love and faithfulness. So great is his desire to have a relationship with us that he went to extreme lengths on our behalf. Bless his matchless name. Great is the Lord's plan of salvation. God uniquely created and knew you from before time even began. God loves you and wants a personal relationship with you. Sin, inherited from Adam and Eve's rebellion, dwells within us all and separates us from a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Payment needed to be paid to satisfy God's holiness and the justice his holiness demands. God's Son, Jesus Christ was the only one pure enough to pay that price for our sins. Jesus sacrificed his own life on the cross at Calvary to ransom and redeem all those who would believe, confess their sin, and become wholehearted followers of him. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us forever to enable us to walk the narrow Christian path that leads to eternal life. Today, if God is speaking to you about coming to salvation, you will know the Holy Spirit will be tap, tap, tapping away at your heart. Don't ignore that tapping. Don't delay the opportunity to make the best decision of your life. Commit your life to Jesus today. Speak with someone you know is a Christian. Call, text, or email us. We would love to pray with you and see you started on the greatest journey of your life. For those who already love the Lord and already walk with him, determine in your heart to praise and worship him with thanksgiving every day, even more than you've done before. A passage of scripture to close. Ephesians 1. 3-10. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. United with the Creator of heaven and earth, united with Jesus Christ who gave his life in our place, united with the wonderful Holy Spirit, the Advocate for Christ on our behalf. And do you know that one day every single person who has ever walked on the face of this planet will worship Jesus. Philippians 2:10 tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's be doing that right here, right now, because we will be worshipping our wonderful God, our wonderful Jesus, the precious Holy Spirit, for all of eternity. The Lord bless you this morning.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see at his voice. See how great.